good thing about no soap is that you can smell hijackers a mile off.
Maybe we count three war parties.
Yeah, well, I got unlucky.
Let's do this!
There's only one way we're getting you on that plane, and that's quiet.
We're in deep shit, Billy. The virus is aerosolized.
What are you talking about?
It's going airborne.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secured.
Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs ribavirin is among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe.
I got you. Welcome to the Parkway Theater Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt.
And I'm Byron.
And I am Ward from the Parkway Theater.
And this week, we are reviewing Groundhog Day. Reviewing is a strong word. We are discussing Groundhog Day, and I'm pretty excited for that. But first, let's discuss what's been going on in our lives here in the apocalypse, because this is, of course, our recording and a continuation of our, I think we're calling it the Apocalypse Now retrospective, where we look at all different faces of different kinds of things that people are going through right now thanks to COVID-19. And Groundhog Day is certainly one of them, because we're all sort of living the same day over and over again. I know I am. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, the funny thing is, before any of this happened, I used to think, I'm so far behind, I have so much I need to do. I wish I could just live in Groundhog Day, and then I could just, you know, get everything done I need to do. And lo and behold, this has actually happened. It turns out you can't get everything done anyway, so.
Yep.
Exactly. I have to echo that same sentiment as I'm going along and was going along and just thinking to myself, man, I wish I had more time in the world to get everything done I wanted to do around this house. And always careful what you wish for, because you might get it.
Yeah, I have added to the effect, and all of my neighbors can attest to this, that I basically wear the same clothes every day for a week. And I do have multiple of the shirts and pants that I wear, and so they don't really know if it's the same or not. But I walk outside at like 8:30, same time every day, dressed the same way. And my neighbors are, you know, kind of doing the same thing. It's pretty real for me over here.
Well, and let's be clear. It's like we're still early Bill Murray, early in the movie. You know, we haven't quite figured out the meaning of life and all that. So, you know, we got to cut us some slack here.
Yeah, true. We are, I don't know about you guys, but I am 56 days locked in my house today. So it's been a long time.
Wow, 56?
Yep.
Wow, hadn't even thought about it that in that perspective.
Yeah, because Byron, you're still having to go to work, so you don't have experience.
For me, it has really, it's been very little effect. I've been deemed an essential employee and still having to go to work, but it really is the only time I guess I exist outside of Groundhog's Day is when I am at work. As soon as the clock ends, or as soon as I punch out, I then just go back to my Groundhog's Day, where it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, so, Byron, do we have a drink of the show for this episode?
Well, I guess I wanted to say we do have a drink of the show. I hope you guys can all name it at the same time. I thought it'd be kind of fun to do this, but we probably won't be able to do it with the delay here we have in our recording. But the drink of the show, if you haven't figured it out, is going to be sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
We could have done it, Byron.
We totally could have, but I figured the delay would have messed it all up. But oh well, that's what the drink of the show is.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a great movie. Well, should I run down the numbers? Are we ready for that part?
I think I'm ready for numbers.
Okay, so this is 1993's Groundhog Day, starring... I'm just going to give you guys the top three build cast, and we'll get into other character actors later on. But so it stars Bill Murray, of course, Andy McDowell as his love interest and producer, and Chris Elliott as the cameraman. And these three are off to Punxsutawney to see Groundhog's Day happen and do a weather report. It's directed by Harold Ramis, who, I don't know, maybe I should quiz you guys a little bit on this. Harold Ramis also wrote this movie together with Danny Rubin, who did Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan. But can you guys name the other movies, the other major movies that Harold Ramis wrote? Not directed, but wrote.
Did he do Tootsie?
Oh boy, I've never heard of that, so I don't know.
Did he write Ghostbusters?
He wrote Ghostbusters.
Yeah, wrote Ghostbusters. I was trying to go for the odd one. But
well, no, you got to go for the easy ones first, because I only wrote down the major ones.
Oh, okay.
So Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Yep. You got 1, 2, 3 more that I have written down here.
Did he write for Caddyshack?
He did write Caddyshack.
Stripes?
Stripes, yep. One more. It's the obvious one, I think.
Probably
a certain segment.
Probably too obvious here. I do not know. I give up.
Stuart Saves the World.
Meatballs. Come on. Yeah, Meatballs. So he directed Caddyshack in this movie. Also Vacation. Analyze This, Analyze That. Are those movies you guys have seen?
I have.
Yeah, I've only seen Analyze This. I haven't seen Analyze That.
Okay. I would not be able to tell you which one it was I had seen, but I know I've seen I've seen Billy Crystal try to figure out De Niro. Or that's not De Niro. It's...
I think it was De Niro.
And then here's one. Here's an odd one, Byron. Yeah, no, that's different. So he directed Multiplicity, which is very much like this movie, I think. Have you guys seen Multiplicity? Do you know
what
it is?
I have. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton,
yeah,
that's right.
I have seen that one. Holy cow.
I knew you would have, Byron.
I've seen all of these movies you've talked about. What is going on?
Yeah, so Multiplicity sticks out to me because... you know, it's like a, it's, I don't know what they call it, like a, some kind of fantasy, but like, I don't know, whatever you call that genre movie, but Multiplicity is like this, where it's inexplicable why there's a guy having this crazy phenomenon happening to him. And so like, I'm sure he used some of this movie experience in that movie. Anyway, so he had $15 million. I mean, wow, you know, all the special effects and explosions and things that they needed to spend that money on. And I mean, you know, crazy. And so box office, they got $71 million, which is pretty good for 1993, but I think not super. This movie, everyone loves this movie. I mean, now anyway, it's got a tomato meter of 96%. It's a classic. I think I heard some institutions have named it top 25 comedy films of all time. So the IMDb plot summary says, a weatherman finds himself inexplicably living the same day over and over again. That's, pretty sweet and to the point. I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about this, so I would say, Byron, why don't maybe you jump in to your first point, or what would you like to discuss?
I guess first take I wanted to say on this, you talked about how the budget of it, or the box office, kind of came in kind of a little bit unsuspectingly low, it seems, considering now as we're looking back on it from this movie. But to provide some sort of perspective to this, I wanted to name some of the other movies that came out in 1993, which might also add to maybe to kind of put it in perspective. Let's just name a couple of them here. I got to have a list of them. Free Willy came out in 1993. Last Action Hero, Jurassic Park,
love it.
Mrs. Doubtfire, The Fugitive, Sleepless in Seattle, Dazed and Confused, Demolition Man, Army of Darkness. And Homeward Bound also came out in this year. So quite a significant year as far as movies go.
I love all those.
I'm so surprised that this movie came out, and I had never even heard of this movie, to be honest. I have never seen this movie until I had to review it for the Parkway here.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
wait,
big surprising. Yeah, I hadn't seen this movie.
So you had never heard of Groundhog Day?
No, literally not. And literally not until we talked about having to review this movie.
Wow.
Okay.
I know.
This is like, Byron, this is like in the lexicon. This is... It very much is.
And after watching this movie, I can totally understand it. And it has, I think it's... I can think of very few movies that had entered at least my top 10 within the first viewing. And I think this movie actually does it. Yeah, this movie is probably broken into my top 10 of favorite movies of all time.
I
feel like I want to just, if it wasn't for COVID-19, I want to just watch movies at Byron's house because I get to relive them for the, like watching them for the first time.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you would just get
and I would just sit and watch Byron's face. Yeah, just to see the joy on your face.
That should be a YouTube channel called Byron Reacts to Movies That Everyone Has Seen, and it would just be me watching like Groundhog's Day and, oh, I don't know, some other movies that we've talked about that I haven't seen before, and just me reacting to them for the first time.
Yeah. You've seen Big, though, right, Byron? Come on. Say yes.
I can either confirm or deny. Geez. No, I haven't seen Big. Okay. I'll be honest. I haven't seen Big.
Okay. Oh, boy. We got here. We need to educate. Yeah.
I bring up Big because it kind of, this movie and Big are the movies that I can watch, like I think everybody should watch at least once every 5 years, just because it kind of it puts you in a good headspace where you need to be, and I think it makes you this movie actually makes you a better person by watching it.
Yeah, so I tell you what, not only do I watch Big once a year, but I also roll out my giant piano dance pad and I play songs on it once a year in a dancing fashion. Just for extra measure. And Byron, you'll have to watch the movie to know what I'm talking about. In fact, I am going to go to the ParkwayTheater.com right now and buy you a $1,000 gift card, Byron, so you can always go watch these movies when they show up at the theater.
I feel like I need
and
to,
have no excuse.
Wait.
It pains me.
Do you actually have that piano?
No, but that'd be awesome. My daughters have a version of that, which, you know, it's like maybe 4 feet long and 2 feet wide, and you can dance on it. But
I was going to say, if you did have that piano, we would most definitely put it in the lobby for a showing of Big. But I digress. We're talking about Groundhog Day.
Yeah, let's figure out how to build one. We can do it. Okay. So, do I actually have to ask you guys? So, Byron has now confessed that he has just seen this movie for the first time, but I didn't think I'd have to ask with a movie like this what our experience is like when we first saw it. We usually have this discussion, but Byron has laid bare that that assumption.
Yeah.
So,
the first time I saw this movie was about a week or so ago.
Yeah. First time I saw it was definitely 1993 or 1995, sometime in that range. Probably not the theater, but...
Me as well, and I think the cool thing about it, I remember seeing the trailer for this movie, and it told you nothing of what it was about. I remember there was the scene of him driving in the truck with the groundhog and driving off the cliff, which made absolutely no sense out of context. And so when I went in to see the movie, it completely took me by surprise, and yeah, it was immediately in my lexicon of top movies of all time.
Yeah, I mean, how could they give anything away when, you know, it's essentially they could play the trailer on a loop and that would be giving away what happens, right? I mean, it's a simple plot that they basically, you know, can show one version, one day of his. And then that doesn't tell you much about the movie because that day happens over and over again, obviously. Anyway, well, let's take a little break and then we'll come back and I think we'll do a trivia game here in the first part of the show. Sounds good. Okay, here we go.
Good thing about no soap is that you can smell hijackers a mile off.
Maybe. We count three war parties.
Yeah, well, I got unlucky.
Let's do this! Go!
There's only one way we're getting you on that plane. And that's quiet.
We're in deep shit, Billy, and the virus is aerosolized.
What are you talking about?
It's going airborne.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secure.
Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs with ribavirin as a among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe. I got you, babe. I got you.
Welcome to the Parkway Theater Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And I'm Byron.
Not hearing anything from Byron, so I'm just going to say this is Ward from the Parkway Theater.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, Byron, apparently, are you there?
Byron doesn't get the joke.
Byron.
Oh, okay. Nope, don't get the joke.
It took me a bit, but I'm rolling with it. Yeah, so this is great. I'm glad we're here to do Groundhog Day. Awesome.
Yes, that's right. We're doing 1993's Groundhog Day. I want to run through the numbers for you guys.
Just went right over.
Byron, you know,
in his defense, he's only seen the movie once.
In his defense, I slid up the wrong slider for him to even be talking, so he wouldn't have had a chance. My bad. But you know what? I told you guys, prepare to be messed with because we are reliving parts of the podcast intermittently throughout our recording. So at least that's going to happen one time. And who knows? It could happen again. I wanted to carry that bit on until I did all of these things I did in the intro and talk about Harold Ramis and everything again. But the listeners get it.
I was with you all the way, Matt.
I'm glad to hear that. So I think we should continue on, though. And Byron, can we fire up the trivia game right now?
I think we have a good trivia game here going. So I will be running this one this time. Matt and Ward both do not know what this trivia is going to be about, so I will announce it now. The topic I told them was about Bill Murray, and so the entire quiz now, I am going to say a quote from Bill Murray from one of his movies, and it is up to either Matt or Ward to try to guess which movie it was said in. Do we all understand?
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All right, and we call out our name, right? That's our buzzer.
Call out your name. If you know the answer, we'll try to do our best here to avoid the time delay and everything like that, So, for example, if I were to say something, question or quote is cats and dogs living forever, or cats and dogs living together. Jeez, I even flubbed the own line there. Cats and dogs living together, somebody would say, what is the movie from?
We would say our name, first of all.
Meatballs.
It would be Ghostbusters. Meatballs.
Oh, it totally is Meatballs. Yeah, you win, Matt. You win, Ward. No, that's from Ghostbusters.
We're ready.
All right, we're ready.
Okay. First one. This might be a tough one if you guys haven't seen this one. Are there any priests on call?
Ward. I will go Ghostbusters 2.
Ah, no. Close. That was from The Royal Tenenbaums. That was it.
There's a fun fact about me. I hate Wes Anderson.
Come on.
I thought I'd throw a curveball in there right away with a Wes Anderson film.
Pass.
All right. Let me see here. Here we go. Here's one. In the immortal words of Jean-Paul Sartre, Au revoir, Gopher.
Matt, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, yeah, you nice. Got it, it's Caddyshack. All right, let's try another one here.
Question number three.
All right, here's the quote. If you're going to cuss with somebody, you're not going to cuss with me, you little cuss.
Ward.
Okay.
Meatballs.
Ah, no, that is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh.
He doubled up on the Wes Anderson.
All right. Okay.
There's only one Wes Anderson movie that does not have Bill Murray in it. Do you guys know what that is?
Is it the hotel one?
No, it's Bottle Rocket, his first movie.
That's right. It is Bottle Rocket. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. Here's another one. I was in the Virgin Islands once. I met a girl. We ate lobster, drank piña coladas. At sunset...
Matt. It's this movie.
Yeah, you're right. You got it. It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. That was a good day. He wanted to relive that day.
Yes.
Yes, it was. All right, here. All right, last one. I guess we'll go with the last one here because this thing is dying on me here. I never liked a girl well enough to give her 12 sharp knives.
Oh, Matt.
Okay, Matt.
Knives Out?
Close.
Ward.
Ward, you got a chance?
Stripes.
Ah, no. That was Scrooged.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We weren't very good, but Matt, I think you won.
Yeah, I think we'll go with Matt being a winner here. There were just too many movies for me to pick quotes from, so I tried to pick the random smattering of them and tried to... I think I second-guessed myself on some of these, but there are too many good quotes from Bill Murray, is what I have to say.
Yeah, that's for sure, Byron. I tried to Google this to find where you were pulling these from so I could cheat, and I couldn't because there was so many.
Yeah, the reason why I'm taking so long is because I'm actually pulling it from like five different websites. Because I anticipated you guys would cheat and tried to one up you.
All right, so I've got a trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
So as we segue out of the trivia section of the podcast, as far as I can tell, there are at least three other movies that have borrowed the ground. They are the updated versions of Groundhog Day. Can you name at least two of those three movies?
What if I were to say both Live, Die, Repeat and Edge of Tomorrow? Does that count as two?
Dang it!
That counts as one.
Ah,
I was going to say Live, Die, Repeat. That was going to be my only one that I could name.
Yeah.
So they also came out with a horror movie called Happy Death Day.
Hey, yep. We're not done guessing here. Come on. That's two for me.
All right.
I've already won.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there was And then there was like a teen romance drama thing called Before I Fall that also borrowed the same premise.
Yes. Yeah. No. I was thinking about that as I was doing my research too. Like, how many movies actually, borrowed this or maybe even did this first? So there was probably black and white movies that did this first, and maybe even episodes of Twilight Zone or something. But I couldn't. I didn't go there. That is true. This is I don't know. The funny thing to me is when at least for Ward and I, not Byron, but when we hear Groundhog Day, it never crosses my mind. You can maybe confirm or deny this, Ward, but it never crosses my mind. Oh, that's the day that the weird little groundhog comes out, and we know if it's winter or not. I only think, oh, this is like after this is a repetition thing. That's what they're talking about. It's a repetition thing.
Yeah, it's right? Completely right? changed our the way we talk about. Yeah, it's completely changed the meaning of the word Groundhog Day.
Yeah, which is funny because as I'm reading here on the trivia, because I was trying to look up this stuff, was this wasn't a thing until Danny Rubin wrote the original script and then Harold Ramis modified it and turned it into this whole thing.
Yeah, it was based on some novel and that was or some short story. And it didn't, Groundhog's Day has no historical association with time travel or whatever, loops and things. It's just... It's just that's what they did for this movie. And so I guess I have a question for you guys, too. What do you think about the fact that we never learn why this is happening to him or how it's happening to him?
Oh, that was going to be my first question to you guys, since you were so much experts on this movie, was it was going to be, how do you guys think he got out?
Well, he got out by doing by being a good person. But I'm asking, how did he get in?
How did he get in? Ooh.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a Scrooge thing. There's some, you know, power that's looking down on Earth that decides this guy needs, he's kind of a creep. And, you know, in the Me Too era, he'd probably get fired. And he needs to learn a lesson about what's important in life.
Yeah, I think basically I watched this without ever really asking the question about why this is happening to him because it's done so well. But I think my feeling about it without thinking so much is that like the universe is just a big, vast, weird place and he just happened to stumble upon something that has caused this, you know, to happen to him. And there you don't need to know anything more than that.
He was just that big of a narcissistic dick that, you know, he triggered something in the universe that caused this to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Byron, what did you think? He reached
the low point of, what should I say? He reached the low point of immoralness to the point where he actually got transported to purgatory in real life and had to serve out his version of purgatory, which means he had to learn to be a good person. I don't know. I guess that's what I kind of came to the conclusion of.
Yeah, apparently in the very first draft of this script, he was cursed by some woman who knew voodoo that he had wronged, and that's what launched him into this thing. And so then they slowly just cut away from that.
I mean, this might actually happen in real life. So think of your life and anybody you knew who where you're like, that guy kind of used to be a dick, but I kind of like him now. He's pretty cool. He probably has been through this.
What if they encountered their own version of Groundhog Day and had to relive their own specific day until they learned from their mistakes?
That guy that I'm thinking of, that guy I'm thinking of, like he's all of a sudden he's really good at stuff too, that he never was good at before.
You're thinking of a specific person right now.
yeah, completely.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like he's got 10,000 hours in this one specific skill. Now he's a pro.
Okay, well, Byron, that is that's leading us to our next question, which is how many hours or days or months or years do you guys think? I mean, I don't know what research you did, but how long do you think he's stuck in these in this day?
Well, I think unfortunately, due to the internet, that question has been answered. So I can't really speculate anymore.
Ward, it has not been answered.
There's controversy
There is conflicting information on the internet that say it's not been answered.
We do know that Harold Ramis said 10 years, right?
He originally said 10 years, and then he backtracked on it later.
Yep. That's right. So some people say this whole idea of 12,394 days, and some people say 10,000 days or 10 years. Ramis has said different things at different times. I personally don't think they give enough of a shit in their inner headcanon about it to actually answer it seriously. So I don't think there's a real answer. And the question is, you know, maybe let me ask it this way. When you guys, Ward, when you first watched this movie, or maybe Byron too last week, did you think it was like 100 days or maybe like, I don't know. It didn't really click in my head that he learned how to play the piano masterfully from never playing before. But I just assumed it was like maybe 100 days or at most 1 year. I didn't think it was 10 years or decades.
Well, I'm a piano player. So I think that that occurred to me very early when like the first time I watched this, that to be that good at the piano, like he had to be in there for a long time. You couldn't do that in a year, for example. So I kind of knew right away that it was a lot. I didn't realize that we were talking like 10 years or beyond.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. I didn't assume, first of all, that he didn't know any piano, and then also I don't know how to play music or read music, so I just thought, man, maybe that happens in 1 year. I have no idea. Didn't Mozart do that by the time he was 3? So what do I know?
The thing that always gets me about that part of the movie, though, is that his piano teacher at the end is bragging that she's his teacher, right? But that mm-hmm. day, he walked into her studio and bribed her to give him a lesson, and he was a maestro of the piano right. that day.
Yeah.
And then she goes out and takes credit for it.
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, this is the kind of woman who kicked a 12-year-old girl in the ass on her way out to take that money.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
So, yeah, I do want to talk about another character, and before I do that, I gotta bring in this clip right here. Here we go.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
How you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson. I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing! Again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
So, first of all, I don't believe anybody called that guy Needle Nose. I'm sure there was other names for that guy.
Yeah, that must have been edited. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to tell you that I only gave the top 3 billed actors, and the 4th billed actor on IMDb is this guy, Stephen Tobolowsky, and I love this guy. I mean, he's one of my cherished parts of this movie, Ned Ryerson. His arc, if you want to call it an arc, it cracks me up so much. I can barely talk right now. Somebody else go.
I like how even after everything he said there, he still didn't know who he was.
Nope.
No, that's idea. So fantastic that how that works. So funny. I'm losing.
Well,
it
he's the talent. Bill Murray's the talent. You know, he can't remember the little people. So, I just love that eventually when you know, it goes through other things, and I guess maybe let me just do that. This is a shorter one. Let's do this real quick.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
And that is one of the most quotable lines of this movie.
He's such a dick.
I don't know. But Ward, correct me if I'm wrong here. Isn't that something you've heard people and maybe yourself say 100 million times since 1993? The first step's a doozy.
The thing that always comes up for me with Ned Ryerson is that in the last day, he actually bought like thousands of dollars worth of insurance that he's stuck with now.
No, well, I mean, he's stuck with it, yes, but when he did it, he didn't know that was going to be something he stuck with.
See, I think if he knew that was going to be his last day, he might have done things a little bit differently.
Well, and I guess that would be one of my questions as to how he got, I guess, quote unquote, out of the curse. Was that he probably had to do his day in a perfect... Maybe he had to do his day in a perfect sequence of order in order to get out of it.
Yeah.
Was that part of it? Did he have to buy insurance? Because, I mean, it seemed like he held out for so long. And, I mean, didn't he knock him out at one point in this movie? I'm trying to remember looking through my notes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He kissed him once.
He didn't even let him talk.
So he could have done everything else, but like, do you guys think the insurance part was a requirement to get out?
Well, yeah, that begs the question: what was there a specific maze of good deeds that he had to run to get out of this day? And was that part of it?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I always found that to be the most interesting part, because you have. The first time you run through Groundhog Day, you're given a certain series of events that Phil encounters, and he He handles them in probably the most negative and narcissistic way possible. And then as you and then as you slowly see him going through, like, he slowly changes his whole opinion
on Byron,
how to deal with these things.
Byron, hold that thought real sec, because I have one more clip.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sounds like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you.
Yeah, he's not the most pleasant guy as he
that
starts,
was at his,
even on air.
That is, as we were going through the movie, I was remembering, maybe you've heard of this, the five stages of grief.
He
was certainly at the point of, so for those who don't know, it's, what is it, denial, anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance. He was definitely at the depression point of that whole, of him accepting where he was in life, of being able, having to repeat this day again. And so, yeah, that was a pretty funny part.
Yeah, where he was in life is a very unique place.
Yeah, which I think ties back into the, like, you know, the question of, well, what would you do if you were in this situation? And we're all kind of in this situation now. I am definitely not learning how to do chainsaw sculptures and learning a new instrument. You know, I'm in the dumps just being angry. So,
okay.
I need another 9 years of quarantine.
Well, yeah, and that brings up an interesting question. I mean, how many years do you think he did in a row of crime? I mean, he was able to time down that bank robbery meticulously, even down to the steps.
That is one of my favorite parts of this movie, is because I don't know, I think I would go there. I would definitely go there, and yeah, he did that for 4 or 5 years, Byron, I'm guessing. If he had 10 years in, he did that for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and I love the guy's reaction is, hey, did I bring one bag out or two? And the other guy's like, I don't know. well, so we're talking about some other characters. I want to ask you guys, so the main ringmaster, the MC of the Punxsutawney Phil event is, there's just, the character's name is Buster, but do you recognize that guy from anything else?
That's Bill Murray's brother, right?
Well, just jump right out there and say the surprise. But yeah, that's Bill Murray's older brother.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I always recognize his voice. I've heard him in different
movies. He's in Mad Men, too, I think.
He's got a great voice. He's the boss that gets kidnapped in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's how
I remember him from. Yeah.
Yeah, tremendous character actor of voice.
Do you guys remember that there was, that Bill Murray has a younger brother who they tried to kind of pass off as the next Bill Murray? He was in a movie called, like, Driving Violations or something. It was about driving school. It was pretty bad, and it never worked out.
Yeah. Actually, Bill Murray has, like, 8 siblings, so there's, like, so many of them. But yeah, I do remember that, and it's, you just, I mean, he's a unique character, and maybe that's a good segue into talking about, you know, Bill Murray over time. I mean, I guess, I'm sure you guys did your research and read up on this, but, you know, he was quite, in the 80s, 90s, he was quite the difficult to work with person, supposedly, and so him and Harold Ramis had a bit of a falling out after this movie.
Yeah, that was something I had wanted to bring up, was that how Bill Murray was so difficult to work with that even his co-star in Ghostbusters wouldn't even speak to him after this movie.
I think it was the opposite.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Bill Murray,
it was the opposite,
wouldn't talk to him.
They wouldn't speak to each other until, I think it was 2014.
Well, it was whenever Harold Ramis died. That was basically a week before that is when they talked, after 21 years of not talking. So that's... That tells you something. And the funny thing, the reason I bring that up is, you know, people, what people would say about Bill Murray today is, oh, he's crazy. He walks into the hardware store in some random place in Illinois and he'll buy $10,000 worth of, you know, stuff, and then he'll go give it to someone for free, or he'll give you a hug on the street and talk to you for an hour, or
he'll,
you know,
show, like, up at your wedding or whatever.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Well,
he'll just do these
with
things.
Bill Murray, is what he'll always say is, no one will ever believe you. as he does these crazy things, is he'll look you straight in the eye and do these crazy things like, yeah, buy $10,000 worth of lottery tickets and then look at you and say, no one will ever believe you, and then walks away.
Yeah, but I don't think he's trying to be a dick when he does that. I think he used to be an asshole, and I mean, it's almost like he, you know, he's
He went through Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like he did his character's transformation and, you know, years of I don't know, being that way or whatever. He has now decided not to lock himself up in some, you know, mansion in Hollywood Hills, and he is just out there being himself. And I heard one reporter say that Bill Murray is great because, unlike lots of other actors who are getting liposuction and having, you know, a bunch of stylists surrounding them all the time, Bill Murray just goes out and looks like he got in a fight with a laundry basket and lost. That's his thing. And it's so true. I think I really admire this guy now, but apparently then he was, you know, he was, when he was making the big bucks, he was a real, or, you know, he was doing his starring roles, he was a real butthole to deal with.
So you're saying very much the narcissist who has now perhaps learned that there's more things to life.
So I don't know what happened to him.
So let me ask a question with, you know, you've got this guy who even in this movie kind of looks like he got in a fight with a laundry basket and lost. If a guy that looked like him became an expert at French literature and could play the piano and ice sculpt and all this stuff, do you really think he'd have a shot at Annie McDowell?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I actually, and Byron is too, he's too ashamed to admit this, but Byron's had a little thing with Annie McDowell. I just want to play. I sat down with her recently for the podcast, and I had a little interview in a cafe. So let's listen real quick, and then we'll get Byron's take and see if he actually will admit this.
Oh,
hold on.
Okay.
So Andy, let's dish a little bit here. What's your favorite thing about my buddy Byron?
He's intelligent, supportive, funny.
Ooh, anything else that you really like?
He's romantic and courageous.
And what about under the hood? Real stud muffin, huh?
He's got a good body, but he doesn't have to look in the mirror every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think he's a real man's man, too, right? Am I right? Kind of a badass.
He's kind, sensitive, and gentle. He's not afraid to cry in front of me.
Oh, and what about dogs and kids? You can always tell a guy's character by the way he treats dogs and kids.
He likes animals and children, and he'll change poopy diapers.
Ew.
Oh, and he plays an instrument, and he loves his mother.
So come on, Byron, you gotta fess up. That's what? For real, right?
Yeah, sure. That well,
you and Andy, your thing.
There is one lie there. I am always looking at the mirror, looking at myself in the mirror every 2 minutes.
Well, how many poopy diapers have you changed? Come on. Other than my kids.
Other than yours. Yeah. I've not changed any, I don't think.
You know, I listened to that line and that whole cafe thing, and I thought exactly what Ward was getting at is, you know, I don't know that this woman's ever going to fall for his thing, his shtick, his whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of had a somewhat similar thought in that some of her stuff was a little ridiculous almost.
Well, okay, that's a good point. I mean, she's not funny, so I tried to find a clip, you know, to be representative of, you know, all the characters, the main characters in this movie. And I was like, oh, I don't have any Andie McDowell clips. And the thing is, she's not a comedic actress. She doesn't have funny things. I try to make the podcast funny, and she's a serious leading lady, and that's who they cast for this movie. And so, you know, it is not unbelievable that he would have a hard time, you know, trying to win this woman over who loves French poetry and has extremely high, you know, standards, and not very relaxed as a person, I would say.
I was just going to say, I think Bill Murray just wanted to awkwardly kiss Annie McDowell, and that's how she got cast in this movie. And by the way, while we're on the topic, he's given Arnold Schwarzenegger a run for his money on the most awkward on-screen kissing in this movie.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I just, every time. It's not. Bill Murray is awesome. He's good at a lot of things, but on-screen kissing is just not one of them.
Yeah, probably not the greatest. Well, I mean, What, do you guys have anything else that you have been dying to discuss about this movie?
I got a couple of quick things. First of all, Chris Elliott. I love him. I'm a huge Chris Elliott fan. If you haven't seen Cabin Boy.
Cabin Boy? Cabin How about Boy. Do you own the box set? The box set for Get a
Get
Life?
Get a Life. Oh, Get a Life was a great show. my other point I wanted to bring up was, did you guys catch the other big name actor who had a bit role in this movie that popped up toward the end?
I think you're talking about, hold on, I did catch it.
Well,
and
go ahead, Matt.
Byron, if you can do it, Byron, I really want you to have this win.
I had a pretty easy one. I don't know. This is probably not the one you were thinking about, but Harold Ramis was in the movie at one point.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I don't think that's the one you're talking about.
No, that's not the one you were thinking of, probably.
He is talking about Willie Garson, who went on to play a big role as the assistant, the friend of Carrie on Sex and the City. Am I right? Is that the one?
No. I don't know who that is.
Are you talking about Fred? Is that who you're talking
about? No, I'm talking about Michael Shannon pops up in this movie.
Who plays Fred?
Oh, that's Fred. Okay. You barely even recognize him. He doesn't really look like Michael Shannon, but...
Nah, yeah. Old people, you know, when we get old, like me, you kind of transform your face and stuff, and you get more grizzly and grumpy looking. Michael Shannon is a scary actor.
He is frightening. Seen,
The one thing I can really pinpoint how frightening he is in what's the Oscar award winning "Have Sex with a Weird Aqua Creature" movie?
Oh,
he's the bad guy in that.
Revolution Road was like his breakout role where he got an Academy Award nomination. But he has this kind of serial killer look to him. So when I watch that scene, I just think he's going to kill his wife at some point.
But you don't think that because you don't really see that in this young, fresh-faced kid from the diner. You don't. I mean, it didn't occur to me until I, read through the cast, and I was like, what? Michael Shannon is in this movie.
Trust me, once you know it's Michael Shannon, all you see is he's going to murder her.
Oh, no.
So it's like... So he's like the It character who's just lurking in the background in these scenes.
Yeah,
who's
pretty
gonna
much.
Murder people.
That's General Zod, and he's going to kill her.
Oh, did he play General Zod in something?
Yes, he did in Man of Steel.
Oh, he was Zod in Man of
Steel. Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense, too. Okay. Yeah, no, now I should watch that again.
And then they turned
we're not DC people.
They turned his dead body into the main villain in whatever the sequel to Man of Steel was.
Oh, I thought you were saying Fred's dead body. I didn't realize this movie got that dark. I'm glad that you changed that. I mean, now that we're talking about Fred's dead body, that must put a wrap on this episode. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes.
I think so. Okay. Well, Ward, why don't you tell us what's coming up at the Parkway in the next few weeks?
The Parkway Theater. We've got our virtual cinema going on. If you'd like to check that out, we're streaming independent films, partnering with small independent cinema studios. Go to theparkwaytheater.com and check that out. And
let me ask you a question about that.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Are those movies rotating?
They are. We are constantly adding new movies and old movies that are going away. So you got to catch them while you can, and they have a short release window. So
that's definitely do, because my wife and I tried to watch a global warming one. We did watch a couple ones that were looking really good. And then we tried to watch that global warming documentary or climate change or whatever, and it was gone. And I was like, dang, we got to sign up for these movies quicker. Watch them while you can. Is it a one-week window, or do we know exactly how long it is?
It depends on the studio. So sometimes they keep them for longer than that. Sometimes they say we only have a short release window. So we try to put on the website, what the release window is and when you'll be able to watch it. So that's going on. We're streaming some live events. We've got Nora McInerney on Mother's Day doing, she wrote the novelization of the movie Bad Moms, and she's going to be doing a live stream event for that. So keep your eyes peeled on theparkwaytheater.com for upcoming events, and check out our social channels on Facebook and Instagram. And that's about what we got going on at the Parkway. Byron, what do you got going on?
Well, for the Fun V podcast, we are still through our going through our James Bond series, and looks like we got the last deal for Sean Connery James Bonds with Diamonds Are Forever, which is the next one coming up, and then we go into the Roger Moore series for that for the Fun V.
And I'm excited for that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well, so let me take us out with a little Pennsylvania polka, gentlemen. And I'll say, as always, if you'd like to reach out to the Parkway Podcast, you can reach us at parkwaytheaterpodcast@gmail.com or give us a call at 612-217-2520 and leave us a voicemail, and you can have your voicemail played on the air if it's appropriate, of course. If you enjoyed this episode, coming up next, we'll be discussing the Tom Hanks film Castaway, which I think we can all relate to during this time. It's another in our retrospective series of the little apocalypse now that we're experiencing. For Ward and Byron, I'm Matt from the Parkway Podcast, and we'll see you at the theater.